record this. Now, I don't know if this will actually make the broadcast worse, but yeah, I'm hoping that I can use that to preserve the conversation once recorded. So yeah, welcome to the live stream. Today we're doing things a little bit different. I hope that I am totally in frame. I have the screen here to monitor how I look like, but I moved it around. Anyway, a little bit of a different format today. You're kind of seeing an inverted view of usually, you know, where you see me working from, no apparent reason, just trying to spice things up. Welcome to the live stream. My name is Varima Henry, and if you're new here, this is Do Better UX Live Streaming Sessions. Here we talk about different topics. We talk about product design, UX design, career skills, tips, how to navigate, you know, the whole world and shebang, right? And you will hear topics like the one that I'm going to be talking about today. And I wanted to, you know, kind of sit back a little bit and kind of look at, you know, how things have been evolving over the past year, the past 2 years. When I say year, I mean, you know, 2023, as we are in it so far, before we get into 2024. So this year so far, and the past year. So I wanted to talk about, just reflect on those, that time a little bit, just to see how everything, it looks like everything is still recording fine there. I just wanted to go back and reflect on that period of time and talk about different things that I think are highlights of my career, some of the things that were the top, some of the things that were the lowest that happened to me within this time, and where I think things are going with how technology the UX design career market, as I experience it, obviously, right? Now, this is the great thing about this platform, is that it's really not for you to hear me blabbering about, you know, my career or what I think I know all the time, right? I'm actually inviting you to be part of the conversation. So if you'd like to be part of the community, check out our LinkedIn group that we have currently. Let us know if LinkedIn works for you. If it doesn't work, what other platforms are you interested in seeing us on? Yeah, so let me just play back to probably starting with 2 years ago. So looking at the market 2 years ago, I think, you know, we're kind of like really getting out of the pandemic, and there was we're starting to see a shift from remote work. Now in 2019, when I started Do Better UX and, you know, really getting on my own, getting out of corporate and started you know, consulting as a solopreneur, I went fully remote, right? And you know, the pandemic kind of hit, and everyone was forced to go remote, but I intentionally initially went remote, right? Because I really wanted to work from home and live a certain lifestyle closer to my family, as I have a lot of young kids that I'm trying to raise and be around, at least, right? I still do a lot of work from home and not spend as much time as I would like to, right? But nevertheless, I think I still find a little bit, it a little bit much more easier, right? And a little bit more time to be able to spend with people around me. So that was the intention, that was the plan, and you know, fast forwarding 2020, you know, 2021, end of 2021, we started kind of seeing the whole pandemic thing kind of like ease out. Getting into 2022, the whole remote space started being more of a remote hybrid type space. And I think here, that's where I really kind of saw the shift of working with certain clients and, you know, the value of kind of dictating the type of clients that you work with, right? Because I worked with a lot of people that were kind of forced to go back to the office, not saying that, you know, going back to the office is a terrible thing. Kind of like prefer it in some instances, in instances of, you know, kind of like doing workshops and things like that. You kind of, you know, get things smoother and much faster that way, right? We saw a lot of drive, a lot of people losing business from, you know, just being remote and not having that freedom anymore, right? That we kind of saw people falling into within 2020 and 2021, when we saw people, you know, migrating, going, you know, to live in certain places away from the city that was cheaper because they didn't have to travel anymore. We're kind of seeing people being drawn back, right? So there's a whole conversation right now on LinkedIn about remote work, hybrid work, you know, back in the office, etc., etc. My take on that is do what your business, you know, what works best for your business, right? For me personally, kind of hybrid, mainly on the remote side, right? If you are within the city that I am in, or within reach, or if it is a very high stakes project, right, then, you know, if I need to fly somewhere, then I will be there for the job. I think that's kind of like the first weird shift that I've seen, just from a behavioral point of view, before I get into, you know, technology and some of, you know, the crazy stuff that we have seen getting into 2022. Now, even in 2021, there was a big hype around NFTs, around cryptocurrency. We saw a big crash happening in 2022 in the crypto space. Now, I've never been a person who has been designing within the crypto space. I have worked within fintech and done some work there, but not within the crypto space. And I think that technology kind of shaped a part of what is now called Web 3.0, right? Yeah, for me, it's still a little bit vague. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, maybe with, you know, people who actually know what they are talking about on the podcast. If you are new here, again, check out the links in the description. You'll be able to find links to the podcast. You'll be able to find links to the website, etc., etc. If you know more about Web3 and you'd like to share it with the community, please feel free to reach out to me, links in the description. And let's have the conversation. Let's share the information with the Do Better UX community. Now, that kind of fell apart, and there was a whole start of, you know, an evolution of AI. We saw a lot of stuff coming out of the open AI world. We started seeing a lot of stuff coming out of Microsoft, really being close to open AI, and you know, Google kind of like started reacting to the noise that that Microsoft was making in the market. So that was fun to watch, it recently got kind of like canceled out and silented out, right? If you're following technology in any space, by Apple, when they released their Vision OS, Vision Pro, mixed reality headsets, right? And it was really interesting to see how the voice within the tech industry just kind of like shifted, you know, right away to, you know, immersive special design all of a sudden. And yeah, there is still a lot of AI conversation. I still think after everyone has settled down with the whole Vision Pro, Vision OS stuff, I think in the design spaces it'll still go on a little bit more. But once the dust has settled there, I think we're still going to go and see a lot of stuff within the AI space. Now, going back to probably end of 2021, I found myself kind of in between multiple clients and really enjoying working with diverse, you know, projects within the fintech space, within the retail food space, and within other side projects that I was working on as well. So I really found a lot of experience and a lot of, you know, awareness on how to deal with multiple projects, how to work with multiple clients, and how not to burn out, right? And including the part about not burning out, right? I think it's important for you to understand, especially if you're working as a freelancer, solopreneur, or, you know, a solo consultant like myself, that you need to be, you know, cognizant of how much you can actually take and how much you can process, how much you can, you know, output, still having the right level of quality, right? Now, this is where some of my downfalls started kind of like happening for me. And I think, you know, some of my actions could have been, you know, acted better, and I could have, you know, done things better in some scenarios, right? Yeah, I think, you know, I got really close to burnout. I really kind of like overcommitted myself, overstrained myself a little bit than I wanted to, than I was comfortable doing to be able to, you know, give that right level of output. You know, with other reasons as well, you know, just trying to balance, you know, parts of life that are outside of work, right? You kind of see a lot of just the work part, just ingesting everything that you're doing, right? So that's one part, right? And I think that was kind of like my turning point. I kind of look back to think on, you know, what is the purpose I'm doing all this? And, you know, initially, it was all about making the right decisions, making the right choices, making sure that I am the one in charge and driving my career, right? And you kind of, you know, get into the world and get consumed with a lot of things, right? And, you know, demands come with life, and, you know, life comes with a lot of things that you have to take care of, and, you know, kind of just try and keep on catching up, right? So decided to take kind of like a step back, focus on the community a little bit more, share these thoughts and kind of experiences with you, talk to a lot more people, connect with a lot more people, kind of redraw, restructure things a little bit more. So yeah, I hope that we will be having more and more conversations on the community. I have been talking to some people that you will be seeing on the podcast, on the live stream pretty soon. And yeah, it's I think it helps to kind of step back sometimes and look at your career and, you know, just think about what are the next steps, what is the bigger picture, what is the impact that you're trying to bring to the world. Now, I always have the drive around why is it that we build products. You know, like I'm passionate about building products, working with teams. There's a lot of energy, time, money, and sweat that is put into these products that people, you know, work on. I've, you know, worked with people that, you know, it's everything to them, right? And you know, I've lived that journey with them, and at the end of the day, a lot of products are not successful because they're not built from, you know, a core need to solve a problem or a core need to actually, you know, drive a solution in life right now. There are a couple of reasons why people buy or use products, right? And it's usually to solve a pain point or to entertain, right? And usually to entertain can be taken as a pain point, because if you think about boredom, right, it's a pain point, and entertainment is the solution to that. So a lot of products, a lot of businesses out there are not fundamentally based on that. And if your product or business is not based on that, like the stock exchange, right, which is a solely money-making machine, let it be that, right? And don't try to bring, you know, kind of like design thinking and, you know, yeah, maybe design thinking could be useful in there, but not in the traditional sense of, you know, kind of having conversations with customers, etc., etc., right? It's just not the right approach for certain products. And a lot of products are also driven on copy and paste ideas as well. That's one thing that I've kind of picked up. It's like, you know, that other competitor companies doing it this way, we need to do it, but with a little bit of a twist. And that's just not a way to build products, right? And that's not the way that at least I want to build products and be part of teams that build products that way, right? So finding the right market fit and the right clients has always been a jiggle and, you know, a wiggle here and there, and hopefully, you know, further down this year, you know, while once I start really engaging and connecting with people again, those relationships and those projects will start coming to fruition. Now you can see that I said something here that, you know, I'm just going to kind of like let it come, right? And not actively go into the market and sell. Now, I can go actively into the market and sell, you know, from a business point of view. I need to keep the business running. I need to keep the cash flow coming in. But there are certain, you know, kind of like projects that I will, you know, kind of like commit to in long term. And there are some that I will kind of take on, do them properly, but know that, you know, it's a stepping stone to getting to the next biggest thing that will not only be worth the time, worth the while, but also be something that will be impactful to society. And I don't know how many designers, product managers, product owners out there that are watching this feel the same way, right? And you kind of feel that you get trapped in this world where you kind of just need to build products because, you know, business requests specific things, and it's hard to navigate, you know, the design space. Oh, I should have gotten some water or something. It looks like the stream is still going well, a little bit better than how I expected, actually. So yeah, now fast forwarding to later on, you know, in most recent times, I think we have seen a lot of the conversation around AI. We've seen a lot of conversation around the Apple Vision Pro, which is something that I'm personally interested in. But there is something that a conversation that kind of went under the carpet. And I think that is going to impact a lot of designers in the future, especially people who are doing product design and building screens and prototypes. And maybe let me take a two-part on this conversation, right? So the first one was around the whole acquiring of Figma by Adobe, right? And there was a whole big thing, you know, a lot of people, you know, say they're going to move back to Sketch. But the honest truth is that Sketch is just not, you know, it doesn't have the collaboration features that most of the companies that are looking for. And a lot of companies are already bought into Adobe anyway, and they have been, you know, getting quite acquainted with Figma. And I've been falling in love with a tool probably over the past 6-8 months now, and it's called Penport. It's like I'm gonna say a ripoff of Figma, but in a good way. It's open source. You can host it yourself. You can use it from the website, and it's really like Figma. So the interface is familiar. The learning curve is not as harsh. I think this tool is really going to be a great tool that is coming to the market. I hope that it doesn't, you know, kind of get acquired and, you know, get lost again, like, you know, what Figma did, right? Like OpenAI was supposed to be, you know, an open source project, right? And not profit driven. So I hope that we see Penport kind of like sticking into stuck into that space, right, and be able to actually grow and empower designers, be built by designers, and be able to see companies and small, you know, freelance designers, solo consultants like myself, be able to use these tools, have them to be, you know, enterprise ready to work for on, you know, projects like, you know, with startups and smaller companies, right, that are kind of like not ready to go on the Adobe I'm looking for a word that relates to blood sucking, on the Adobe blood sucking cycle, right? So yeah, I'm excited to see where Penport is gonna go. I really want to be a contributor, especially bringing a lot of the Apple assets to Penport. I think Apple and Figma are kind of like, you know, speaking to really bring this Vision OS components together, and I'm interested to seeing that coming to Penport, right? So that is one part of the conversation. I forgot the second part of the conversation. I'm not taking any notes today. I just said I'm gonna sit down on this live stream, kind of like kick back, you know, and reflect on the past couple of years and where things are going, right? So yeah. Next point that I think I can talk to, let's see how far we have went into the stream now. We're about on the 29-minute mark. Okay, cool. Maybe a couple of more points and I'll close off, right? So let's talk about the most recent events with AI and Apple Vision Pro. Now, I've seen a lot of new apps, tech come up, and like the cryptocurrency, NFT days, blockchain days, we kind of saw actually those technologies, I think they're much better. Like with this AI stuff, we're seeing, you know, kind of like video apps that actually not usable. I did a live stream trying out some AI plugins for Figma, and it was just a mess, right? It's either they're asking you to sign up for it right away, which feels like a scam. It's like, you know, you're trying to rip me off without me even trying this thing out, right? So let me try it out first. Give me a trial, right? Even if it's like 5 days, 7 days, let me, you know, have some time with it, be able to play around with the thing before I make the purchase. So they're kind of like asking for purchases up front, or you kind of like, you know, just see a quick example, which I think it's a dark way for them to put subscriptions on this technology, number one. Number two is I think some of the ideas of the products are really good, and I think it's really about, you know, taking the time for AI to get there, right? I think it's just not there yet, and I think people need to stop bullshitting with all the gimmicky stuff that they're coming up with. Now, what I think smart teams will do is not ignore AI, but actually embrace it. Right now, there is a lot of tools that we've seen coming out of Microsoft, Google, mainly those two players, and a lot of other companies as well, but mainly, you know, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, that help developers build, you know, different softwares and things like that. And if you are a company in the fintech space, if you're a company in you know, the food retail space, if you're a company in anything that has to do with human touch, contact, big data, upselling products, I think this is really the opportunity, right, for you to understand how this looks like. Probably take out beta products over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, really understanding this landscape and how it works, and be able to scale things, right? Now, that's one niche space that I think a lot of product designers, product managers can work in and specialize in, if you want to level up your career, right? And if you want to stay on top of the game and future-proof yourself. Now, I spoke about this in depth in other streams. I'm not gonna go in depth with it on this one, but if you want to, you know, level up a career, it's really about playing in these niche spaces, right? So how much do you know about AI? How much do you know about designing for AI, right? How much do you know about mixed reality, right? Now with Quests, with the Meta's Facebook's Quest device has been out for quite a bit. It has been a lot of game intensive, right? But with Apple Vision Pro, I'm sure we're gonna start seeing other companies follow suit with making more productivity and entertainment consuming type of mixed reality headsets as well, right? We're gonna see a lot of companies copy what the approach that Apple has done here, and we're gonna see probably kind of like similar toolkits, ways to design for it, being copied from what Apple has done, like we've seen with the Apple Watch. You know, we've seen a lot of companies trying and copy the format and the way that that Apple has positioned their products. So these things are not new, at least from me, right? I've been talking about these things probably for the past, you know, few years, probably since 2019, right, when I started speaking on a microphone, live streaming on this channel. And I am a true believer that, you know, if you focus on these things, these are some of the things that will not only help you stay on top of your career, but also help you, you know, probably get a higher paycheck, really do work that is rewarding, because it's not just, you know, another typical screen-based app that there is a billions ways of, you know, kind of standardized ways of doing things, right?
but you are able to bring a certain level of thinking and bring a certain level of style that you can actually introduce to the market to be able to fulfill a certain gap that you identify just because you are an early comer within that specific niche, whether it's VR. Now, these are the biggest ones, right? I think AI is there, but I think mixed reality is going to really spike up because it's been there for a really long time. But now Apple has come on the market, and I think over the next year this is really going to start ramping up, right? Still not as much as you would find work for typical apps within the fintech space, for example, or whatever it is, right, where things like AR would shine, right, because most of it is still applied to screen touch based desktop, typical traditional way of using computing. So I think, you know, within that space you will find AI taking a lead when it comes to the opportunities that it comes with, when it comes to, you know, how many things that you can do and how you can enhance a lot of existing features already within a lot of products, right? And, you know, without needing to go so niche like voice or mixed reality, which is really my top 3-4. Mixed reality, we've got AI, we've got voice. So that's kind of like the top 3 for me right now. Now there are a lot more other niche kind of things that you can look at, market based. So looking at fintech, looking at the medical space, looking at, you know, I guess insurance is also fintech, but, you know, looking at very niche markets that you can focus on to be able to apply these things and be able to be the main domain voice within that space, right? Now, the last thing, talking about the main domain voice within that space, that I want to talk about is that I think doing great work is just not enough, right? In this day and age, especially if you are a person who wants to get more clients, be able to drive your own career and actually have your own rates, your own clients, type of work that you want to do, right? Doing great work is just not enough, right? Now, other than you needing to be a great communicator, needing to go out there and finding these clients, right? You need to really put yourself out there, right? Like just having your CV out there or having, you know, a LinkedIn profile that is not active is just not enough in this day and age, right? If you want to be shown, if you want to do different work, if you want to be discovered, you need to go out there and network with people, actually initiate conversations, do things like, you know, speaking at specific related events within the markets that you want to work in, right? So these are some of the things that I think have been at the back of my mind, and I have been executing in certain places within my career, and I've been seeing momentum from them, right? And I'm interested to know how many of you out there are using some of these techniques that I have mentioned here, and which techniques you are using. Comments in the description, comments in the comment section, not in the description. Let me know, or if you'd like to continue the conversation, or you'd like to be part of the conversation here on the channel or on the podcast, tag me, join the community over on LinkedIn, whichever way you want to do it. Looking forward to connecting with you on a more
one-to-one level, and not just, you know, kind of like one way me sharing this with you. But yeah, I would like to get more people asking questions within the community, and really being part of the conversation. Now, if you enjoyed this and you'd like to support the channel, there are links in the description, which are affiliate links to different gear that I use here on the live stream, on the podcast. If you're into that kind of thing, if you're in South Africa and you'd like to get hosting, we'll be adding other more links. Feel free to check out some of the things that apply to you. By using those links, you'll be helping me, you know, kind of get all this set up, making sure that I keep on having these conversations with you guys. Now, this content is free. I'm not selling any courses. I'm not, you know, kind of trying to monetize the community in any way. But yeah, if you'd like to support me to make sure that we can grow this community and keep on engaging, feel free to use the links. And that's all that I ask for now, at least. Until the next one, it is a long weekend. There is a public holiday in South Africa this Friday. So we'll see. Maybe we'll throw in the last stream for the week tomorrow, or maybe we'll do one late Friday. I know most of the viewers are not in South Africa anyway. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But thank you for joining. Thank you for watching. Until the next one. Peace.